Well, there was a once godless seaman who was in a boat fishing with his companions. A storm came up and threatened to sink the ship. His companions said, "All, let's pray." And they begged him to pray. He gruffed a little bit and said, "It's years since I've prayed or even entered a church." But finally, upon their insistence, he made this prayer. "Oh Lord, I've not asked you for anything in 15 years. And if you deliver us out of this storm and bring us safe to land again, I promise you I'll not bother you again for another 15 years. Too frequently, that's the way a lot of people pray. Only in times of desperation, only in times when all else fails. You'll hear it on TV all the time. When someone is injured in a football game or someone is injured in a baseball game, oh, let's pray for that person. But the only time you'll hear people say, let's pray, is when there's a disaster that's impending. They know there's a God in heaven, but they're not going to bother with talking to him except in an emergency. I want to speak to you today about questions about prayer from Psalm 5 that really will stir our heart. I hope it stirs your heart. Number one, you notice in Psalm 5, Jeremy read it. What is prayer? Well, prayer is words spoken to God. If I were to speak the same words to Brother Joe Dill down here, that's not prayer. If I ask him to help me with something, that's not prayer. "Brother Joe, could you help me get better physically? Would you go to the would you get with a doctor or something to help me get better? If I'm sick at home and can't do anything, that's not a prayer. If I prayed, Lord, would you help me get to a doctor or do something, Lord? Would you help me get better?" If I'm speaking to God alone, that is prayer. So it is a request made to God. Now, when you notice, it's also a meditation. Now, a silent prayer. Notice, if you would, in verse 1, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation." So maybe you're driving and you're praying. Maybe you're at home and you're sitting in your easy chair and you start to think about something and you just reach out to the Lord and you start saying, you know, Lord, and the meditations are about to the Lord, your thoughts. It's prayer. It's called prayer. What is prayer? It's a request to God, asking him for something. You'll notice, verse 2, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry." So he's asking for something. Now, prayer can be supplication. It's like prayer is anything that we ask of God. Supplication is when we pray with passion, with a broken heart. We can't always pray everything with passion. If you've got a bill that's due, you don't necessarily get on your knees and say, "Oh, Lord, help me get this bill paid." You might, but normally you would not pray that way from a bill comparison to a sick wife or a sick child or a sick husband. So supplication is a prayer that's taken to the point of great passion, crying out to God. But prayer is also praise to God. "Lord, you could have called 10,000 angels, but Lord, you didn't. I want to praise you for that. I want to lift you up. I want you to know you're wonderful. When I think about he died alone." Can you picture the image in heaven? The angels are perched on the gates and on the walls of heaven saying, "Oh, Father, don't let them do this to him. Father, this is not right." And Jesus said, "I could have called 12 legions of angels, but I'm going to die alone for you." And from noon to 3, the earth turns dark, pitch black. Sun refuses to shine because God the Father turned his back on his son. For God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. So Jesus did die completely alone. Have we praised him for that? Have we said, Lord, I didn't deserve that. You're too good a God to me. Lord, thank you. Praise. Has he given you things that you don't deserve? Praise him. That's prayer. It could also be meditation. You're just thinking about the goodness of God and praising him. That is prayer. I am certain we don't do that very much. On my phone, I have a prayer list on my phone. And I'll pray over that prayer list on my phone because it's lit up and maybe it's early in the morning and I don't turn on the lights and I'm there. And so I'll take my prayer list and I'll pray over it. And I didn't know it, but there's an app on the phone and I don't know how I found it, but it tells you to the minute how much time you spent on notes. Well, the notes are where my prayer list is. And so sometimes I can remember, you know, I get up and I'm praying and I have a prayer list that you know, I'm praying for, and I look over there and for some reason that came up and it said I prayed X number of minutes. I said, that's not right. And I got to thinking about it. I was in a rush that morning. I said, Lord, is that all that I talked to you? Prayer is all the times that you talk to him. You would think something wrong if your mate did not talk to you for a whole day or two, let alone 15 years. So I would remind you today that prayer is talking to God, no one else. Prayer, give our prayers to? Well, I want you to notice, verse number two, hearken to the voice of my cry, my King. So we look to the King of heaven when we pray. It's very specific, but it's the God of heaven has got a different name, to my King. And look here, to my God. Look at verse 3. My prayer shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. So we pray to the God of heaven, the one that put the stars in his place, the one that created the earth, and the one that made man from dust of the earth. We pray to him. And I don't think, I know I, when I pray over my prayer list, I've got a paper one beside my bed, and I pray for many of you. Well, your names are on that list. And I pull that prayer list up, and I'll start praying over that prayer list, and I begin to think, Lord, you can do anything. And there's nothing that I ask that's out of bounds or that's too hard for the Lord. Because you are talking to the one that put the stars in their place. I don't think I or we most of the time realize the greatness of the one we're praying to. The power of the one we're talking to. For some reason today, because God does not part the Red Sea, we sort of feel like God is not as real as he was back then. But God does the same real things, we just don't recognize it many times. When God does certain things, we don't recognize it, and yet it's his hand moving in our behalf. And so today, there's nothing that you need, there's nothing that you're burdened for that you can't pray to the Lord about. And you know, I think we don't get a lot of things because we don't believe. Many times in Scripture, the Bible says, this kind goeth out by nothing but prayer and fasting. In other words, when everything else is off our plate and this one thing that I must have an answer for, when we pour our hearts out to God and we don't let it alone, exactly what Daniel did in chapter 9 and 10. And you know the answer that God gave to Daniel? He sent an angel Michael the angel to go tell Daniel the future of this world. Daniel's 70 weeks were in answer to Daniel's prayer. But I'm reminded, well, Lord, I'm no Daniel, but I pray to the same God. It's not God's fault. So who do we pray for? Who do we pray to? The God of heaven that can do anything. But I want you to notice, when should we pray? Now, this is something that maybe you might say, well, when do we pray mostly? Somebody tell me, when do you pray? When do you pray mostly? Take just a minute. Somebody raise your hand. When do you pray? A little smaller group. Hey, Michael. In the evening, okay? Michael prays in the evening. When do you pray? Somebody else. Rose? In the morning, okay? Notice, is it right or wrong? Notice what if you would. In verse number two, hearken unto me, unto the voice of my cry, my King, my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear, verse 3, in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. So David primarily prayed in the morning. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, that is sort of a common thing that we would pray is in the morning. But I want you to notice, if you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. So is Michael wrong for praying in the evening, and is Rose right for praying in the morning? Psalm 55, verse 17. Verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So when do we pray? Anytime your heart desires. Now, let me explain this to you. There is such a thing called Calvinism. Calvinism has a tenet in it that man is depraved, so depraved that he cannot pray on his own for salvation. So he can only pray when the Holy Spirit comes and says, now you can pray. Now, I do believe the Holy Spirit must come and touch our hearts. But the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. So God is going to come to every man on earth and say, it's time for you to pray. Touch your heart with a death in the family. Touch your heart with an event in your life. And it's your time to be saved. But he wants everybody to be saved. But when you become his child, when you become a child of the God, he says, talk to me anytime, night or day. Talk to me. Speak to me. Morning, noon, and night. Do you remember Daniel? Daniel chapter 5. He gets alone and he gets up in the morning and he opens up the windows of his house and he prays toward Jerusalem and he prays in the morning. And he goes back home for lunch during the daytime and opens up his windows and prays again. And the evening before he goes to bed, he goes home and opens up the windows and prays again. So he had a consistent time to pray. I think everybody in this room, you ought to have a consistent time to pray. You ought to have it where you wake up in the morning and there's a time to pray. Your alarm ought to go off to cause you to pray. There's a time maybe in the evening you're getting ready to go to bed, but before you lay down, you say, Lord, I want to talk to the Lord. It doesn't matter if that's 9:30, 10, 8:30, 11, 12. Before I go to bed, I want to talk to the Lord. Now, if you pray in the evening, you have to be careful you don't run yourself down so that your prayers are not prayers of clarity. And if you pray in the morning, you have to make sure you don't pray so early that you're tired and exhausted and your prayers are not clear prayers. How many of you ever had this? How many of you ever had your mate, Debbie, Tom? How many of Tom, has your wife ever looked at you and said, hey, Tom, can I talk to you? I want to talk to you. Has that happened to you? Okay, now. So we know Debbie, we know she goes to sleep while she's talking to Tom. Okay, let me see here. But Spencer, have you ever talked to your wife and kind of dozed off? And okay, he hasn't done that, okay? So, okay, he's a good husband. She's a bad wife. No, I'm kidding with you. Here we are, we look at it, we say, have you ever, how many of you have ever dozed off while talking to God? Raise your hand. Uh-oh. You know what? I think I'd rather doze off talking to Tom than to the great King of Heaven. Do you know what happens? I'm afraid we don't put enough attention on who we're talking to. And we don't schedule it. If you don't schedule something, you probably won't do it. Do you know why a bank or a bill collector, how many of you have car insurance that's taken automatically out of your checking account? It's deducted automatically. You have something that's deducted automatically out of your checking account. Would you raise your hand? How many of you have that? How many of you want to know why? Let's see, Brother Matt, you're a very studious young man working on his master's degree to serve the Lord. Why?
That way they can be sure that they're going to get it.
That way they don't forget. What would you think if the Lord said, okay, Dave Pittman, so you don't forget every time it's time for you to pray, I'm going to give you a little twinge of vertigo. Now, oh, time to pray. Oh, I got to pray. Oh, good Lord, thank you. Remind me to pray. You know what he does? He leaves us alone and says, I want you to pray, but I'll leave it up to you. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you often. Debbie, how much would you want to talk to Tom when you guys are retired? Okay, I don't understand that. That's Tom. I don't get that. But you know what? I understand why we want to talk to the Lord, but we don't. Somehow we get busy. Folks, prayer is to be done consistently, all the time, anytime you want. But Daniel scheduled it 3 times a day. We ought to schedule it at least once. Every teenager, you ought to schedule a time where you talk to the Lord. We all have calendars. And they've got my phone has got a calendar thing. It's got a little deal on it. Put alert. So 5 minutes before time, an alert comes on. An hour before time, the alert comes on. It says, okay, you got a meeting with so-and-so. Don't forget. You know, the reason God does not do that is because he says, I don't want you to get too busy to not think about talking to me. But I know we do. And remember, he died all alone for you to have the privilege to talk to him, to make it possible. I know this. Every one of us in this room, when we step foot inside heaven and see the glory of the King of Kings and our God, our Father, our Lord Jesus, every one of us are going to say, oh, I was too busy with life. I should have spent more time with him. When should we pray? As often as possible. To share with him our burdens. Share with him our blessings. Now, then notice, number four, what should we pray about? Well, number one, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 40. And notice, if you would, we should pray about salvation. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you ought to ask him to save you this morning. If you're on live stream, the first prayer you ought to do from this moment on is say, Lord, I need to talk to you about my soul. Notice Psalm 40 and verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my prayer. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, out of a sinful life, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and trust in the Lord. Have you been saved this morning? Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord? Has there been a time when you've trusted Christ as Savior? This morning, had it not been for the snowstorm, there was a family going to join our church. And I went out with them and went over to visit with them and heard their salvation testimony. And hers was a very unique one. I was at church and I was a little girl and I heard the gospel story and I went home and I started reading my Bible and I knew I needed to be saved. And I bowed my head and trusted Christ as Savior. And I went outside and I told my mom and dad, I said, I got saved. They said, go to bed. And then the next morning they got up and said, okay, tell us about what happened. Well, I realized I was a sinner. And I knew that I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I knew that died for me. So I bowed my head and I prayed and asked the Lord, you know, to help me to be my Savior. They said, you did get saved. And she said, yes, I told you I got saved. You know, a child can get saved. But everybody in this room, the first prayer or the most important prayer should be, Lord, I'm a sinner. Will you save me? And if you've never trusted Christ today, now, it would be very surprising to me that somebody in this room would not have put their faith and trust in Christ because of a snowy day and you've come to church and braved the weather to come and be in the Lord's house. It just tells me you have an interest, a spiritual interest in growing in grace. And so it'd be very rare. But I'll tell you this, I was a 14-year-old teenager and I wasn't saved. And I went to church every time the doors were open. How many of you are 14 or less? Raise your hand. Okay. Possible? Are you sure you're saved? There are people who have been saved after they've been in church for 30, 40 years. They're just too embarrassed to admit it. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit got a hold of their heart, and they said, I don't want to die and go to hell. So they trusted Christ as Savior. The first and greatest prayer is, Lord, save me. Notice number two, we should praise Him. We should learn to lift up the Lord for His goodness to us. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 3 of Psalm 5, the same psalm was, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Lord, I'll look up and praise you. Lord, thank you for your goodness to me. I think we don't tell the Lord thank you enough and praise him enough for who he is. That song, one of the reasons I love that song, 10,000 Angels. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Do we praise him for that? He did have that choice. I cannot imagine. One of the greatest privileges about being a preacher, and one of the joys of my heart, I could be a plumber and make money. I could be a preacher and tell people how wonderful the Lord is and how you can get to heaven. And it just didn't seem like to be any choice to me. I looked at it and says, why would I not want to tell people how wonderful the great God of heaven is? And so I'm reminded here, why would I not tell the Lord myself, Lord, you're wonderful? That's one of the prayers we ought to pray. Everybody in this room, you ought to consistently schedule a time. Lord, you're wonderful today. Maybe you get up in the morning. How many of you, now answer this for me, you got up this morning and you didn't hurt, have any pains, you felt okay this morning when you got up and you said, hey, Lord, thank you. How many of you got up and felt no pains this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, good. How many of us said, Lord, thank you for letting me get up this morning and be whole? I think... what happens is we take it for granted. We take a lot of the blessings for granted. If you're married and you're a sweet husband or wife and they love you and you woke up this morning and looked over and there they were, did you take a minute and say, Lord, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. I want you to know something. We don't praise him enough for his goodness to us. I think we take a lot for granted. We should pray for daily cleanliness. If you'll notice Psalm 4, look at verse number 3. Look at Psalm 4, verse number 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. For the Lord will hear when I call. Stand in awe, verse 4, and sin not. You know, the Lord wants us to be clean when we talk to him. Notice, if you would, Psalm 66. Flip over to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Notice with me, if you would, Psalm 66, verse 18. Verse 17. I cried unto the Lord, unto him, with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. He was lifted up in praise with my tongue. Verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me, hath attended to the voice of my prayer. So what does that mean? He was clean when he prayed. How do we get clean? Another one of the privileges, the fourth reason we pray, is to cleanse our heart. Lord, I'm sorry I did that. Lord, would you forgive me? There are marriages that break up every day because someone has done something, husband or wife, and they will not humble themselves to their mate and say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I did that. I don't want to do it again. And so they drift apart. And you and I will drift apart from the great God of heaven if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't mean he saves us again. It just means he makes it where we're close to him again. It's no different than you have a father or a son, and you look at your son or your child and say, look, would you go wash the dishes, or will you take out the trash? And they get busy and they don't do it. And you say, son, did you carry out the trash? No, I didn't, Dad, but I didn't want to. Well, all of a sudden, there's not peace between the father and his son. And until that son says, Dad, I'm sorry. I just forgot. I'll do it. Please forgive me. Then there can be peace. That daughter says, I didn't wash the dishes because I didn't want to. I was busy. And then now there's trouble. There's trouble. There's distance between husband and wife, or between father and daughter, or father and son, or mother and daughter, or mother and son. When we don't obey, we don't do the right thing. Until we say, oh, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Then fellowship is restored. Do you realize? God sent his son to die alone to pay for our debt of sin. And we sin again multiple times. What do you think it feels like to God if we don't turn back to him and say, I'm really sorry, Lord. I know you're my father, and I don't want to sin, but Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Versus, hey, Lord, I'm your child. I'm busy. I don't have time to pray. I really wanted to do that. Do you understand the privilege it is for the great God of heaven to listen to you and I confess our sins? What a privilege that is, to have a God that will listen. So take advantage of it. Lord, look in Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Okay? You want to be able to talk to the great God of heaven when you're in trouble. Lord, would you help me? Lord, I'm in distress. Lord, I don't know what to do here. I need your guidance. I need your help. Lord, Lord, please. Why would he listen to us when he saved us and we've gotten ourselves into trouble? He doesn't put us in trouble. It's always as a result of us. Notice, if you would, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for the Lord, thou only makest me dwell in safety. Do you thank him for the safety of your home? How many of you have had somebody break in your home and do damage to you in the last 3 years? Raise your hand. Wow. I wonder who does that. I wonder who watches out for us. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You know who kept you safe? Only the great God of heaven. Have we told him? Lord, thank you for my safety. I know there are so many things that we could talk to the Lord about. It's not just, Lord, bless my brother, my aunt, my uncle, help my job, and let me give me a good night's sleep. We don't realize the all-encompassing hand of the mighty God of heaven and what he does for us and what he can do for us. And then for the praise that we should give to him for all that he does for us that we just take for granted. special burdens, distresses. Folks, a part of growing in grace is learning to pray morning, noon, and night, praising Him, recognizing the thing He's done for us. Lord, You only kept me safe as I was driving to church this morning. Lord, thank You. Don't take your eyes off the blessings of God. And don't forget to tell Him thank you. Little story. On July 4th, 1863, just 87 years to the day after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, came the victories of Vicksburg and Gettysburg. An incident told by General James F. Rusley and General Daniel Sickling of Lincoln's prayers in connections with these victories come to us. General Rusling of Trenton, New Jersey, relates a significant conversation which he heard on Sunday, July 5th, 1863, in the room in Washington where General Sickles lay wounded, just after the great victory at Gettysburg. You must understand, Lincoln knows the country's divided, North and the South, but he knows that slavery's wrong. He knows it's against the plan of God. And he, in his mind, believes it's a holy battle for the lives and souls of the freedom of men. And he doesn't think America should be a place for freedom for people based on your color or whatever. So notice if General Sickles lay wounded, and he, in reply to a question from General Sickles whether or not the president was anxious about the Battle of Gettysburg, Lincoln gravely said, "No, I was not. Some of my cabinet and my others in Washington were, but I had no fears." And General Sickles inquired, "How was this?" And seemed curious about it. Mr. Lincoln hesitated, but finally replied, "Well, I'll tell you how it was. In the pinch, in the middle of your campaign, when everybody seemed panic-stricken and nobody could tell what was going to happen, oppressed by the gravity of our affairs, I went to my room one day and I locked the door. And I got down on my knees before Almighty God and prayed to Him mightily for victory at Gettysburg. I told Him that this was His war and our cause was His cause. And we couldn't stand another Fredericksburg or Chancellorsville. And I then and there made a solemn vow to Almighty God that if He would stand by us at Gettysburg, I would stand by Him. And He did stand by you boys, and I will stand by Him. After that, I don't know how it was, and I can't explain it, but a sweet comfort crept into my soul that God Almighty had taken care of the whole business into His hands and that everything would be all right at Gettysburg. That is why I had no fears." I wonder how many of us would put our future in the hand of God, would put our decisions in the hand of God through our prayers. Let's pray. Page 437, we'll sing "Sweet Hour of Prayer." Maybe you need to come this morning. Just talk with the Lord. Maybe you haven't been as faithful in your prayer time. If the minutes were put on your phone for all the world to see, would you be proud of the time you spent with the Lord in prayer? I know I wasn't. I was embarrassed. Lord, I want to talk to You more. If you're here today and you say, "Pastor, if I died today, I don't know, I'd go to heaven." Just come to me. I'll help you get it settled. It can be taken care of today. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Thank you for letting us come to you morning, noon, or night and know that you hear. Answer according to your will. Lord, speak to our hearts today. In your name we pray. Amen.